Today is World Soil Day. That's right. I know what you're thinking. I forgot to send out my cards. I'm not wearing my traditional World Soil Day regalia, but it is a thing here in the festive season, and it's an important one. We think about all the different ways that our food system is in peril, but one of the most fundamental ones is the ground on which we walk. You may have seen our guest Tim Overhoy on ABC TV sniffing a clod of dirt like it's a fine wine. He's the Federal President of Soil Science Australia, and he's also a soil scientist at the Department of Agriculture and Food, WA. Tim, thanks so much for coming in. Tell us why this matters. Tell us why we need a day to talk about soil.
Well, soil is fundamental to life. We sustain our food production systems from it. In fact, there's a really good saying that people have coined in the last few years, which is soil is the engine room for our food production. It's the material that we build our buildings from, the foundations on which we place our buildings. And there's a few other fundamental things that people are only perhaps just getting in touch with, in the fact that our soils are actually a fantastic carbon sink. So in fact, we could even buffer some of the issues to do with climate change through our soil. And one of the risk issues for our soils is the loss of our best producing agricultural land. Soil is fundamental to life.
Tim, you've flagged there are a whole lot of different ways in which soil is important and soil is valuable. Is it a great renewable resource? I mean, how quickly does soil renew itself?
It takes about 1 centimetre of soil to form over 1,000 years. So in a sense, it is a renewable resource. But unfortunately, it also only takes an instant for that soil to be degraded, either by soil loss.
Sorry, 1 centimetre for 1,000 years. So my compost bin in the back, you know, I have this idea that I can generate nice, beautiful, fresh soil relatively quickly, even as a lay gardener. What am I missing there?
To build an organic material, you're adding nutrients and organic humus and the like. And so, yes, you can build up the guts of the soil, but the basic or the fundamental elements of the mineral matter to actually get that to develop into a soil layer, or the thin veneer of soil that we cover the earth with, that takes an exceptionally long time to get to that point.
So that makes it sound like not only is it an important thing, but it's a perilous thing. I mean, if it takes that long to renew good soil, does toxicity in our system, for example, mean that we're in danger of running out of soil and not having the time to create new soil?
It's interesting because what you're saying is correct. We are in a situation where through land degradation or pollution, we actually can lose our best quality of land. But people look at our soil underfoot, and it's very much an undervalued asset, and they tend to think that, oh, well, it's just dirt, you know. But there's so much more to the fabric of dirt, in the fact that you have your biological, your chemical, and your physical attributes or qualities in that level of soil. And so to get that sort of intrinsic relationship and to have it working as a functional unit, I suppose you could say, that takes a long time to get to that point. So in an instant, if you've got a wind erosion event, and I'm sure people in Queensland and Sydney have probably seen, and probably here as well in Victoria, the dust bowls that have occurred with, you know, great plumes of dirt that have blown over the landscape, that's the loss of that thin veneer of our topsoil. That topsoil works as a bit of a buffer between a functional, happy soil and the stuff that sits below.
So how right am I to point at toxicity? Is that, or climate change, or weather events like the one you describe, are they the biggest threats to soil?
Yeah, there are a range of threats to soil. Soil pollution is certainly an issue.
But I understand on World Soil Day, one of the biggest threats to soil at the moment is urban sprawl. Explain to me why that threatens the quality of the soil we've got out there.
It's certainly a feature for many locations around Australia in the urban centres. There's that fine balance that one has to achieve between planning for an increase in population and also trying to maintain our best agricultural producing land. And so in trying to achieve that fine balance, a lot of states are guided by planning policy. I'm not aware of any states that have got particular legislation in place to protect our best agricultural land. And what I'm talking about are best agricultural land. It is the crown jewels. It is the land that has the best soil, it has the best water, it has those best combinations to produce our best agricultural food. If we lose agricultural production in Australia, we'll effectively be producing food that's been grown in China that's possibly been fertilised by human you know, waste and that sort of thing. So,
and that land with the perfect conditions that you talk about, that's typically found in the urban fringes around our cities.
Absolutely. We call it the peri-urban area is the term, which is that urban fringe. And there's a lot of pressure in that part of the countryside. Soil security is certainly a significant issue. We often use the word food security as well, but soil security is that issue of trying to maintain, again, you know, our best food producing landscapes.
Tell me the story of the celery farmer.
Just on the outskirts of Melbourne, I think it's in the Cranbourne area, he was a really genuine fellow and he was very enthusiastic about maintaining his celery production. But of course, he was one of a member of, a member of people in his family. And the developers with the urban sprawl were very keen to acquire his land to put it under, you know, your typical 4x2 type sort of home.
And he wasn't just a keen celery farmer. I mean, he was growing about 70% of the celery in Victoria. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it was somewhere between 70 to 80% of the wow. celery production for Victoria. And then the remaining 20% was celery production that then went out to the rest of Australia. Unfortunately, I think the family decided to sell up the property, and that's just the way it is. The economics drives that activity. But the problem we have is that once that industry is displaced, you know, he is going to go and build up or buy somewhere else. But then are the soil qualities going to be the same? And if the soil qualities aren't the same, will production be off? Will the quality of the produce be quite the same? So it's one thing to displace the industry, but where is it going to be grown elsewhere in the landscape?
So what do we do? If we can't create new soil at a rate of knots, if it doesn't just can't be plucked out of the sky, what are the ways that we can protect the security and the quality of our soil?
As I mentioned before, it's really that matter of engaging with policy advisors, politicians and others to ensure that we can plan for maintaining our best agricultural areas. Different states have got different names for it. In Western Australia, it's called high quality agricultural land. I think best soils or best ag land in New South Wales. But those areas really have to be identified, mapped. Policy has to be put in place to protect those areas. And then there has to be some level of protection to sort of say that, well, urban development will not take place in this part of the landscape. And then if other industries come into those areas, ensuring that there's sufficient buffers and setbacks so that then you don't have land use conflict or the potential for land use conflict in those areas.
But surely modern science is showing us different ways to agriculture, Tim. I mean, how do you feel about a good hydroponic tomato?
Yeah, look, I don't know. Have you ever tasted a hydroponic tomato?
Yeah, they're a little on the watery side. I'll give you that.
Yeah, there's something really special about a nice, ripe, vine-ripened tomato that's been grown in soil. It's a fuller flavour. I mean, a lot of people might argue with that.
You're such a company man. So you're going to plug the soil.
Oh, absolutely. All the way. Most definitely. Yeah, that's right.
Thanks so much for your time, Tim. I've been speaking with Tim Overhoy, he's Federal President of Soil Science Australia, and today is World Soil Day, so make sure you mark it with a dirty friend, one way or the other. You're listening to Blueprint for Living with me, Michael Williams, here on RN.